And with that, let's go directly to our feature for the evening, and that's another visit in Studio C with Ottmar Liebert. Ottmar Liebert comes off the road, came back from Europe maybe 2 days ago, spent less than a day at home, got in his vehicle, and came down from Santa Fe to pop in and visit us rather informally with guitar in Studio C, talk about his just-finished two projects from the last year, Bare Wood and 305. You're hearing some of 305 right now in the background, and to speak as well about an event taking place in 2 weeks, I believe, Saturday, April 4th. Actually, I think it's next week, April 4th, 6 p.m., Pope Joy Hall. Ottmar Liebert, Luna Negra, who you're hearing with him on this recording, plus the New Mexico Philharmonic. Let's hear something from 305 and then jump right into the studio talking about tangos and the magic of the absent one.
Big accent on one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And tangos doesn't have that. And actually, it's like if this is one, nothing's on the one, right? And mm-hmm. It has this strange little swing in the music. And so I kept thinking, where does that come from? It's not, obviously not like the other flamenco rhythms. It's not like, maybe it's not of Arabic origin like the other rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
So then I searched the internet for a while and I discovered an article that spoke about and I don't know whether this information was based on, you know, historical evidence or whether it's on hearsay or what it was, but this author claimed that unlike the other forms of flamenco, tangos came from the harbor towns in Spain.
So no Roma?
Well, no, I mean, the Romani made it part of flamenco. I mean, it's part of flamenco, but it mm-hmm. came, rather than from interior, from the Moors, it came through the harbors. And the suggestion is that because it came from the harbors, it was probably from the Caribbean, right? So now when I tell you, you know, no emphasis of the one, slight lilt and swing to it. What do you think?
Oh, so you're thinking it's the same source as reggae and heartbeat and salsa.
Right, exactly. All of these are, I mean, reggae has, you know, the one drop beat, which is, you know, the accents are on 2 and 4. And when you think about what the guitar does, it's never on the one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But how far back would you have to go to find the Caribbean?
Whenever the Spaniards, you know, I mean, whenever.
Are we in the slave trade era?
Or well, probably afterwards, because if all of these different types of rhythm originate in the Caribbean, that means to me that they came with the people from Africa. So that probably, if we now go back, and I don't think anybody's ever drawn that connection. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to somebody that's playing music and explain this to them, or, you know, even people that play flamenco as well as reggae, they go, oh, my God, it's obvious, but I'd never thought about it. I've played reggae and I've played flamenco and I've played tangos. I've never realized it.
Can you just one more time give us a quick distinction between tangos and a bulería?
Right, so a bulería, for example, I mean, the accent is always on the one, so it's one. And on a tangos, it's more like. One. 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 So it's not. It is very different from the other flamenco stuff, mm-hmm. and it fits right into. A lot of the tempi that are used in reggae, you know, if you're anywhere between 70 and 85, you could have somebody play tangos on a cajon and it would fit right in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, part of Bear Wood is although these are, let's see, you're describing mm-hmm. Bear Wood mm-hmm. as 2002 to 2012, so one might think this is some sort of collection of previous recordings, the
right.
best of, but that's not how you approached it.
No, it is some of the songs that I wanted to put in a compilation, but instead of just, you know, earmarking them and remastering them, what I did is I removed all the keyboards, I removed all electric sources, removed the electric bass, any electric guitar if it was on there, and all I left was, you know, the bare frame, which was, you know, some rhythm guitar, some melody guitar, cajon, mm-hmm. which is the drum box, and that was it. So I gave it to John, and John played all new upright bass tracks for all the pieces. And I did, there were a few things where there had been electric guitar solos or something on it, so I played new flamenco guitar solos. And so it's a very acoustic, very bare album of songs that were previously released but never in this form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, all new. And it's amazing. I mean, people last year, we actually did have been doing a live show sort of based on that. So for the first half, the first 45 minutes or an hour, you know, John plays his upright. He's got this gorgeous, you know, 100-plus-year-old German bass. So he just plays upright, and our percussionist, Chris Steele, plays a cajon, and I play guitar. So it's we do the first set like that, and then for the second set we came out with, he had his whole hybrid drum kit, and John had the electric bass guitars, and I played mostly flamenco guitar, but with a little electric guitar thrown
mm-hmm.
in it. And people really responded, because you sort of see the development and these different styles, you know, that sort of how they changed the music.
Well, the 305, which mm-hmm. is, we shouldn't call it the electric album, but mm-hmm. it is.
It's more electric.
Yeah, more electric. We received it at the very same time we got Bear mm-hmm. Wood, so I guess we got some of the same experience mm-hmm. as the concert goer would get in a situation
right.
like that.
So everybody, buy both albums, then you can, like, you know, play around with what it would sound like live.
You talked about not quitting your romance with music of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was, you know, what drew you back into doing more electric guitar work mm-hmm. on the 305 record.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not done with that sort of that trajectory, is that true?
Well, you know, I'll see where it takes me. But this discovery of tangos and reggae There's obvious stuff that, you know, I remember from the 70s listening to. So I am working on something that tries to meld these things in some form that really works. So I think it's a really exciting development because in a way it shows that most exciting things that we later declare as tradition and immovable and marble statues, whether this jazz, which is now sort of, glued together as basically 1955 through maybe 1967 or something, and that's become the traditional jazz thing that people are even now sort of emulating. And also in flamenco, where it's all, this is it. But when you go back and you scratch at the surface a little bit, you always find that there is all this weird stuff that has been thrown into the pot, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. actually why it's exciting.
And the stuff doesn't just come and go. It sounds like it sort of, and I think this is true in a lot of musical form, it sort of embeds itself, mm-hmm. maybe too deep for people to even pay attention to where it's coming from.
Well, that's why I'm so amazed at this tango's revelation, because, to a flamenco player, it's just one of the forms you learn, and it's part of the tradition, et cetera, et cetera. And, very few people have discovered this interesting connection that seems incredibly logical. And, it's just the evidence is so strong for this.
Well, I know in Iberia, I've heard fado mm-hmm. performers talk about it, not a North African, but a very distinctly West African influence on Portuguese music and
right.
fado in
oh,
particular.
Oh, absolutely.
That would come from the same era in history, probably.
Probably the same era, but I'm wondering whether it's a different coast, because I believe a lot of the people that ended up in the Caribbean with the Spaniards, what would that be, 15th century, 16th century, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think most of those people came from the east coast of Africa.
I don't know.
I'm hoping at some point, once I get this album out, that I can hit up a few musicologists and go, okay, obviously there's lots of, I've spoken to people that have experience with African drumming, and they say there's lots of stuff where the one is just, not really accented at all. So mm-hmm. it's just assumed that everybody knows where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be really interesting to find out whether there's more evidence for this whole, feel of it,
Well, it would be...
All, salsa, reggae, they all have this little lilt to it. It's not a straight... It's not a straight beat. It's got a swing to it.
Right.
Not as strong as, in jazz, but it's got a definite swing to it.
Well, do you want to give us some impromptu swing on your beautiful machine there?
I'm going to play something that... that we will also play with the orchestra on the 4th. And John Gagan, our bass player, has arranged the orchestra parts. And you can just imagine this with a percussionist, electric bass, and I don't know how many they are, 25, 30 people playing classical instruments.
In cozy Pope Joy Hall, because with an ensemble that big, it really is a cozy spot.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. It sounds great, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you. Okay, so that's going to be that plus 25 other musicians.
Right.
At Pope Joy Hall. You're taking some time just dashing down from Santa Fe. 2 days ago you were in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Any stories from the road? Last time you were here, you were talking about going through China and into Tibet, mm-hmm. camera in hand.
Yeah.
So any adventures in the last year or so?
That was pretty exciting because we ended up going to Kham, which is in eastern Tibet, which has long since been closed to all foreigners. So it was nice to get a little view of something that is obviously now impossible to see. I was just in Latvia and in Finland and 6 shows in Germany. And Riga is actually a really, I think, pretty exciting place, especially since a lot of it is really old and quite interesting. And there's a river that runs through it, and one side is basically all old buildings, and the other side they do all new buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
I mean,
it's pretty interesting experience of my third time there.
And as new buildings, this is certainly far away from the Soviet days of mm-hmm. the boxes, the
right.
giant boxes.
Yeah.
One of the things when I've talked to people who are trying to wrap their ears around your music and saying what it is and what it isn't,
mm-hmm.
I've learned to point them to your website and look at your photographs,
uh-huh.
and to get a sense of the shared sensibility,
mm-hmm.
Because you're not a hot dog on that guitar, mm-hmm. And as much as flamenco probably can really encourage that sort
mm-hmm.
of thing, you're very placid in a way.
Right.
Do these two sides of your creativity come from the same place? Do they inform each other, rather?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I started playing guitar when I was 11. I had a little camera that I walked around with probably at age 12 or 13. And I started meditating when I was 15. So all these things are really sort of, for me, interconnected, and I can't really tease them apart.
But you were playing rock and roll.
Right.
Were you taking like very crowded, busy photographs during that time? Do you recall?
No, you know what? I've rarely ever have people in my photographs, and even you know as a teenager, and I would like walk around at night or, go on graveyards and stuff like that. So that really hasn't changed very much, and it's looking back now at my rock and roll days, I'm pretty glad that didn't work out. I mean, we got pretty close a few times, but to having a record deal. But sometimes you have to worry about it if success comes with something that you may no longer absolutely love, because then you're locked into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad it didn't work out that way.
Well, you also, if you're locked into it with a group of people that are all living their own lives.
Right.
Now, Luna Negra, mm-hmm. I mean, the source of that band has been you the three of you have been pretty solid for a good long time now.
Well, we seem to have that same problem Spinal Tap had with drummers. But John and I have been working together since 89, so that's incredibly long time. And we're lucky enough to have the same person now for 3 years on drums, Chris Steele. So that there's an amazing thing that happens once you know that you can trust the drummer and you know where he's going to put the beat, because he can sort of relax and not worry about it. And I think it's been really wonderful to have that.
Where are you planning on going on a next CD? 305 came out last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though Bearwood again counts as a best of, that was all new performance. So this
right.
is a very big, busy 12 months for you as a recording
right.
artist already.
Right. Well, I'm hoping maybe for a summer or fall release of the next thing.
Any hints?
No.
No.
I've given you enough. The rhythms, the 70s. That's about it.
Okay.
And you can't, like, mess up the mojo, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much time are you able to spend with the New Mexico Philharmonic? Or are you, because John Gagan is doing the orchestrations and arrangements, you can rely on what he's come up with? in terms of rehearsal?
He knows all the music, and he's got it all written down. So basically, our rehearsals will basically be, you know, the three of us remembering all the parts and making sure we're not adding. Because, you know, when it's just the three of us, we can improvise and go here and there and do other things or lengthen something or shorten something. But if you have, when you have a whole bunch of, you know, orchestra players that are counting in the back to know when they're coming back in, you need to adhere to form. So the basic, you know, we'll have, you know, all Friday to remind ourselves of the form and rehearse the form. And then I think on Saturday there's a rehearsal with the Philharmonic as well.
How common is it these days for you, you know, in your road persona to perform with this big an ensemble?
Not so often. We've pretty much been a trio for the last 3 years, you know, and I do solo tours as well. But basically it's been a trio and solo, for a while. So it's not that often. But last time, you know, when we played at the Zoo with the Philharmonic, it was a really great experience. I really enjoyed it. There's something, you know, people always go, oh, you know, acoustic instruments will go the way of the dodo bird, or, you know, orchestras will not last. But there's something incredibly special about, you know, 30 people, or if you've got a full orchestra, you know, 65 people playing instruments and doing it all together and creating this whole, you know, there's no, you can't replace that with synthesizers and amplifiers. There's just something, you know, for me, the hair on the back of my neck stands up when it's right. It's just beautiful.
Well, speaking of jumping in and out of forms,
yeah.
they're it's the same tune coming right at you from two different angles, sort
right
of?
It started out as a ballad on bare wood, and it's just upright bass and guitar. And then one day I was just messing around with it and playing it much faster, and decided to record the same tune, a whole different arrangement, on 305, you know, with electric bass and drums and some electric guitar. So one is more of a ballad and one is more of a rumba tune. And I just mashed it together.
Which is the title?
Fire Opal. It's in the middle of that one, and I think it's the third or fourth one on 305.
My birthstone, thank you very much.
Excellent, you're welcome. I knew that.
You knew that. And one more time, Otmar Liebert dashed down from Santa Fe. And if you know anything about fine guitars and changing conditions between the vehicle and a rather warm studio, his guitar was a little bit cranky, but an impromptu pair of solos and conversation. Remember, Bare Wood is out now. Those are some gems from the last 14 years or so, re-recorded as acoustic only. And then there is 305, which is with John Gagan on electric, with electric guitars, and all the rest, those two albums. He is performing next week, April 4th, 6 p.m. in Albuquerque at Pope Joy Hall. Otmar Liebert, Luna Negra, and the New Mexico Philharmonic.